Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time, and for today's show, we're going to be talking about creating your own higher power. So please feel free to participate or just to listen. And so let me welcome Kat and a belated Happy Mother's Day to you, Kat.
Thank you, and Happy Mother's Day to all the mums out there, whether you are a biological mum or you're an adopted mum, or and that doesn't matter if you're a mother of a human or a plant or an animal, if you're caring for someone else and you're helping them, then you're using your mothering instinct. So we appreciate you, and thank you.
Well, thank you, Kat. I wanted to start off tonight by asking you a personal question, and if you don't want to answer it, feel free not to.
Okay, I'm a bit nervous.
Okay, don't be too nervous. What I'm wondering is, yeah, I don't blame you for being nervous. If somebody asked me something like that on air, I think I'd hang up. No, I just wanted to ask you, because I know you're a spiritual person, what your higher power is.
Meaning the divinity of the universe, what I believe that is. Is that what you mean?
Whatever is the source of your being, I guess would be the best way to put it. Whatever gives you spiritual nourishment.
Yeah. It's life. Life is all that is, and all that is life. Or that which exists to support life, which at its core is living anyway. So life. The great spirit of life comes in physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual form. Multidimensional. It is proven. It is beyond a shadow of a doubt to exist. You are alive, I'm alive. The heartbeat of the universe is real. I love, adore, and revere life. Yeah.
Well,
that's
I guess the next
spiritual higher power.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that because it is a personal subject. And so, you know, I think in terms of discussing it, I certainly need to respect everybody's feelings connected to that because, as I said, it's personal. I guess the next question I would have for you is, how did you come to that understanding, or has that always been with you?
Like many people, I went through a journey, and I think we touched on this last week or the week before last, but sometime recently anyway. I went through a journey of trying to work it out. I knew from a very young age that the Abrahamic God was not something that made sense to me. The religion of Christianity didn't make sense to me, and then I started to become more and more like I didn't want to be a part of religion at all. I felt like I wanted to be free, and I felt like religion would hold me into a box, and I didn't want to be. I wanted to be a free bird. So what I started to do was, instead of rejecting religion, I started to learn from everyone that I could learn from, that I could find out about. And I went on a journey of taking slivers of truth from every little spiritual teaching and religion that I could get my hands on. And I began to formulate an idea in my mind, but I couldn't verbalize what that idea was. And it was that I could not personify this force that was in nature with a word like goddess or god. That gives it a personification, and it limits it to some kind of human form. And I couldn't see it as being limited. To me, it was unlimited. And so, you know, I even looked into Jediism because, you know, they're talking about using the Force. And so, I opened my mind to everything. And I would have revelations because I would go along, especially when I studied the spiritual side of yoga. I got a lot of, hey, that's what I was deeply thinking, but I had never been able to verbalize it. I had a lot of those moments. And then somebody gave me Neil Donald Walsh's book, Tomorrow's God. And in there, he said, if we swap the word God out for the word life, then we would have an expansive view and we'd stop fighting over whose God is right, because we're all alive and we can't deny it. And I went, yes, that's it. This whole time it was life. That's what I was looking for, the word for it. It's just life. I had been calling it the Great Spirit, but then I began to call it the Great Spirit of Life. And it was around that time also that was introduced to the Kybalion, and I started to learn the hermetic laws of the universe. I'd had visions when I was younger of the unwritten laws of the universe, like scrolling through my head. So that was simply reinforcing something that I had a memory of anyway. And through that, I was able to feel the knowing of the divine mind. So I was able to, I suppose, expand my understanding more to recognize that we have life, but life is beyond physical form because we're all minds as well. I'm a mind, you're a mind, my cat is a mind, the grasshopper has a mind. You know, we've all got a mind. And as a collective, we are the divine mind. So I really began to take a more holistic understanding at that time. But, you know, it was a journey, and I wouldn't say it was a complete rejection of religion, but rather a growing out of religion. But while I was growing out of it and growing away from it, I was still understanding that each path leads the way home, so that there are slivers of truth that were being taught in everything that I was learning. But to set myself free from the constraints of a particular religion was, like being released, like a bird from a cage. Did that all make sense, David?
Yes. Yes, it did, and I can relate to a lot of your journey. For me, I was raised in a Christian tradition, and I didn't find it to be spiritually enriching, and something about it felt too limiting. I couldn't put my finger on it, but today I have a sense of what that was about. One of the things that I did, and I don't understand this because I was schooled in the teachings of Jesus, but I believe that God was a God of judgment. And, of course, in Christianity and Revelations, it talks about Judgment Day and that kind of thing. And so I had concerns and fears connected to that. And to me, anytime I feel fear about something, I need to take a look at it and what that's about. And for me, the fear that I felt from different aspects of religion felt like lies to me. what I was being spoon-fed did not resonate with me or speak truth to me. What did speak truth to me was love, anything that had to do with love. And so when I got sober from alcohol, I was told that if my higher power, whatever higher power I had, did not work for me, to choose another one. And that was like, what? How can I do that? You mean I have a choice? And of course, the thing is that we do have a choice in everything in life, you know. And Kat, you talked about expanding. And to me, expansion is creation. So I came to believe that you can create your own higher power, something that serves you and causes no harm to anybody else. And so I chose a God of unconditional love, and I continued to refer to my higher power as God. However, it was a totally different kind of God, and it was not a deity. It was not the old man in the sky. It was it. And there is no masculine or feminine pronoun to be attached to it, although I sometimes slip into that just from past programming. But to me, the source of my being is all that is, you know. And that includes all of life, and it includes things that have stemmed from life, like writing and music. Certainly nature is a big part of it. The universe is a big part of it. Animals are a big part of it. It's everything that is part of creation or that has created and that has fed my soul. And by that I mean my total being, all that I am, which also is more than just David. It's connected to all of the lives I've lived, all of the people and all those lives that I've interacted with, the sum total of all of our energy. And again, that would pertain to plants and animals and every aspect of creation. So that's how I did it. That's my basic experience, and so I would love to hear what other people have to say. If you're listening tonight, please press 1 so you'll get in the queue. I do see Al is with us tonight, and I'm grateful for that. Perhaps we could turn to him and see what he has to say on the subject.
Yes, please. Love
okay.
Hearing from Al.
All right. Hi, Al.
Oh, hi, David and Kat.
Hi.
Hi. It's an interesting discussion. I liked what you said about life being your higher power, Kat. For myself, I've often conceptualized it as nature and just the connectedness of the universe. I'm not a religious person, and so that has been what's worked for me. I just a sense of being connected, whether it's with the world around me and animals and plants or with the greater universe. But I did like what you said about life being your greater power, because there is something just astounding about everything that has to come together for life to exist. And that does seem like a greater power, and it does feel like it's life is something greater than myself, than my own life, from that ego-centered viewpoint. Yeah, there's a continuity. I mean, I feel like we're all always standing on other people's shoulders. That's what it means to me. I don't really have a lot to say on this subject, but I did like your comment about life. So I might amend my greater power from nature and the universe to life, which seems to encompass that, too. Thank you.
Thanks, Al. Well, I wish we had some other callers to provide input, but and I don't know how much more there is to say. Kat,
yeah.
What if anything has created any other ideas within yourself on the subject?
I think as I've gone on in my life, I've really seen a lot of different perspectives. And, you know, I've talked about in the past living with an atheist. So my partner is an atheist. He believes that you only get one life, you only get one body. He does not believe in reincarnation. And he believes you're basically a bunch of chemicals in your head, in your brain. And that's what all your thinking is. It's just all chemical. And that when you pass away, it's light, dark, black, nothing. And so I see that as being a part of the path of his soul. And yet he wants to hang out with me, who, you know, I'm self-confessed witchy woman. And I'm not, I'm not going to change who I am at all. And so he has the vibration that I bring. And I watch as he softens and softens and softens. Yet he still watches the same atheist commentators, and a lot of what they say has very much reason, and, you know, it's based in facts, and it's all about quantifying everything. And I see that he has a lot of in-depth knowledge, but it takes him to a corner in the room. It doesn't take him to a door. And he's in the corner at the moment. And that's where I see atheism. And materialism, to me, is not the same as atheism, because atheism, you know, there's a lot of people who are atheists who are very good people, and they go out and they help people in the community, and they want to be kind to others. Whereas materialism seems to really focus on getting, you know, stepping on heads and getting me, 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 gimme, gimme, gimme. And, you know, material things are the thing I want to represent who I am. Whereas an atheist seems to not want to necessarily use objects to represent who they are, but they want to explore science and only try and understand it from a physical perspective. So I find that very interesting, and I have gone through a lot of difficult times with him because we've clashed. And there's been times when I've thought, far out, how can I be with a person who doesn't think the same as me? But then I see that there's a lot of other values that we hold together. And so I've actually learned through my spiritual teaching, take on some of the aspects of his atheism and think about how I can apply it to my spiritual teaching. And so I've really brought a lot of quantification, like how you get from a spiritual perspective a concept and how you can see it manifest through the lines of spirit, mental, emotional, and into the physical realm. And I started to look at things like numerology that way, and I started to look at a lot of things that were given just sort of a mental and spiritual aspect only in the teachings from the past, and I started to look at how these things play out on the physical realm as well. And it's really helped me to piece together spiritual teachings that everybody can relate to. There's some things that my partner still doesn't get, and you know, driving home, he never drinks. I sometimes do. I've had a few drunken conversations with him where I've said, look, you're just not as spiritually evolved as me, and I realize that, and I don't hold it against you. And he's looked at me and gone, you're just not as evolved in your thinking as me. And it's gone, yeah, okay, we'll agree to disagree here. But, you know, that's all right. That's all part of it too. But you know, it's important not to cut out people who don't think the same way. You need to keep those people there, because they're going to give you a grounding, and they're going to help you to, you know, if you embrace their thinking, they're going to help you to start to flesh out your own thinking. They're going to challenge you. They're going to make you have to look at it harder. They're going to make you drill down more. And to me, that's really, really important. We've got a couple of online comments, if that's all right. David, can I talk about them?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Well, Josephine Mitchell, who's been on the show before, she's an incredible spiritual medium, Native American woman from Canada, from the Dean tribe. Hi, Josie. She's said here that she has been raised a Catholic, and it didn't resonate with her either. It started me on my journey of self-discovery. I created a mess on my own, but let go and learned to respond to life, and it became less stressful. And she goes on to say, it is all connected like pieces to a puzzle, and we are all the pieces. I really like that. You know, spirituality is connection as well. That's at the core of it. It's a big connected web, like the World Wide Web, but on a greater universal level, and in streams of energy and electric energy, plasma, that burst out and communicate with everything else. So I really love what she had to say there. What do you think, David?
I think it's great too. I could really relate to her experience, and you know, one of the things I wanted to comment on, a couple of things that you had said earlier, but did you mention that there was another comment?
No, just Josephine.
Oh, okay. Well, thank
made
you,
her
Josie.
Comment. So I've just read that out.
Yeah. No, I really appreciated that, and I really appreciated her taking the time to reach out to us. That says to me that she might be listening on the computer. When you were talking about how your partner relies on facts, it made me think about what we used to consider to be fact 600 years ago, and that was that the Earth was flat. And I think that as time goes on, and for some people, science is going to need to reveal more for them to become more, I hate to use the word enlightened, but I can't think of another one. In other words, if science starts to prove some of this metaphysical reality that others of us ascribe to, people's understanding of facts, what is fact, is going to change, and their beliefs may change too. There are so many things that we've discovered along the way that we never had accepted as fact before. There might have been questions connected to things, but we didn't have the answers, and so we believed what we could see, what had been our experience. I know that, speaking for myself, a lot of the changes that I experienced in terms of coming to terms with a new higher power had to do with things like out-of-body experiences, some past life recall. I mean, I didn't believe in reincarnation from the get-go. That was something that came to me many years later. So I don't know if I'm making any sense, but these are just a few random thoughts that I had connected to what you were sharing, and I certainly don't mean to put anybody down that is an atheist. That was not my intention. I'm just saying that in the course of life, we all encounter new experiences that make us rethink what we had been, what we had believed in before. And so that was a comment I had to make.
Yeah, now I've lost my train of thought because I was listening to you too much. Oh, this is so hard, this balance between listening to you and formulating what I have to say next.
I know,
sometimes
I know.
Sometimes I'm like, oh, yes. Oh, shit, I've got to speak. oh, goodness me. I don't think atheists are bad people at all. In fact, you know, if you start to really look at the good things that they've done in the world, you'll see that, you know, they're up there contributing. And they're not using things that are that hurt people. Unfortunately, there is things out there, religions are used to manipulate and control. There's a Netflix documentary called The Family, and I would encourage anyone who's interested in seeing how religion is used to control, have a look at that, because that's done by an investigative journalist who got involved with an organization that does backroom deals in the US government and all over the world, influencing people and using, doing like arms deals and things like that. And they throw the word Jesus around quite a bit. And I really don't think they're, you know, properly honoring the Christ energy at all. They're using that word as a way to open a door. And, oh, yes, well, we're doing it in the name of Jesus, and, you know, Jesus is wonderful, Jesus is Jesus that, and here we'll make a couple of billion dollars making this war and setting up all these arms deals. Aren't we good people? And from what I saw in the documentary, you know, they're involved in stuff that has caused people to lose their lives. So, you know, that's just one example of history's millions of examples of how religion has been used to manipulate, control, and hurt others for the gain of the few. And so that's a major reason why I reject religion, because of how it's been used to hurt other people. I can't tolerate that. And I'd rather hang out with a bunch of atheists who are just all arguing over the theory of relativity and, you know, getting into what string theory is than people who are trying to control and hurt other people and do it all in the name of, you know. Having said that, people like Greg Braden, people who are into quantum physics, are crossing the line between spirituality and physicality, and they may not necessarily realize it, or they do realize it. But what the Jedi call the Force, what you and I know to be the energy of divinity, science has proven that exists, and they call it the field. So, you know, that's been there for a long time. There's actually a lot of different things within science that's already proving time and again spirituality. They've done a lot of studies on meditation. You just have to look at the studies conducted by Joe Dispenza to recognize just how much work science has actually put into spirituality and how they can see it, its physical effects, spirituality's physical effects and manifestations. There's a Society of Psychical Research, and those people have done a lot of work over the years to understand, recognize, and try and disprove and prove mediumship and other such phenomena. So, you know, science has been out there studying it for a while. We can go all the way back to the 1800s to look at science studying spirituality, and science going on its own trajectory without realizing it was studying spirituality and starting to blow open doors. You know, they're talking about, in science now, in quantum physics, they're talking about multidimensional universe. They're talking about the possibility of more than one universe. You know, having more than one dimension is something that knew about all along. We've known about this. We've known about a lot of these concepts that science is now beginning to catch up with. I just wanted to go back to Josie. She's writing a whole lot here.
Oh, great.
I just wanted to, so thank you, Josie, for being involved. And anyone else who wants to get involved in the show, if you don't want to call in, certainly put your comments and we'll read them out on the show.
I just wanted to say we have had some callers, but they haven't stuck with us. So there are people listening and calling in, whatever. Yeah, go ahead.
Josie said, and I'd like you to flesh this out a bit if you can, Josie. You said skeptics are going to be put on those that are woke to show them that there is more to this world than just the physical. Can you expand on that one, please, Josie? She's gone on to say, we came here with a goal and we had to learn to use our senses to get there. And then she wrote squirrel. I'm not sure what that means. She's written human mind healing, changing biology by intention. I think that she's referring to Joe Dispenza there. But, yeah, Josie, if you can please expand on your comment about skeptics going to be put on those that are woke to show them that there is more to this world than just the physical. I'd like to understand what you're talking about there. In particular, the part of what you've said about going to be put on. And the person you're talking about who's woke, because there's a few different perspectives of woke these days, because the SJW woke is not necessarily the spiritual person woke. So can you expand on that, please, Josie, if you're listening? Thank you. David, over to you.
All right. Let's just go back to Al for a minute and see if he has any more comments he'd like to make. Hi, Al. Anything else you'd like to say? Al?
One? Hello?
Hi. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No. I know I'm just listening tonight, but thank you for checking in with me again.
Sure. You're welcome. Thank you for joining us, Al.
Thank you.
Anything further from Josie, Kat?
Not at this stage.
Okay.
But I'm sure she'll get back to us soon.
Right. And we may end a little bit early tonight. Let's see how it goes. I do have a meditation in mind, and I'm not sure how long that will take. But I really appreciate people... even if they don't stay on the line, I appreciate people that have responded to us with some degree of interest. And I think that perhaps this is a somewhat charged topic, particularly if people come to it from a really prescribed tradition. It may be hard for them to open their minds. I don't know. At any rate, I appreciate the calls that came in earlier, even though you didn't stay on the line. And for anybody that is listening to this as a podcast, we would welcome you to go to our Facebook page, The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards, and make comments or like us, suggest topics. These are all things that would be very useful to us, and we'll be glad to read your comments out on the air. And, you know, there's... This is a dialogue. It's not us telling you what's what, whatever the subject may be, but it's intended to be a dialogue and to be expansive in nature and inclusive and all of those things. So I don't know. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Kat?
Yeah, Josie's just replied to me, and she said there are doctors working with spirituality and changing their perspective that there is more. And she's absolutely right. Not all doctors are remaining limited in their thinking. And I was just talking about this with my partner yesterday, that I'd much rather go and spend the money to sit with a naturopath or a natural doctor for an hour and have that person really work with me, give me acupuncture, do a HemoView test, you know, look into my eyes, do all the tests that they know what to do, they know how to do. And my particular naturopath that I go to, who lives near me, also really nerds out a lot, and I get a whole lot of education, which I really love as well. And I'd rather go and spend the time with them than go to an allopathic doctor who has a revolving door of patients and who does not give me the time, just wants me in and out for the next one. Doctors, I think, are growing in different ways at the moment. It's certainly an interesting time in the world's history to look at medicine, and medical science is being split into two directions. There's the doctors who are blindly following Big Pharma because they want to keep making money, and there's the doctors who are heartfelt following their Hippocratic Oath, and they're standing up and saying, hey, we don't like the way things are happening. And I'd encourage people to have a look into what's going on in the medical system at the moment throughout the world, because it's very interesting. These are learned people, you know, multiple disciplinary degrees, peer-reviewed, the whole gamut, and they're standing up and saying, we don't like what's going on. We don't like it at all. So, I'm very interested in how the doctors are going, because it's a community that's fractioning. That's not even a word. I'm sorry.
But it should be. Hey, we're talking about creation here tonight, you know. Let's create some new words while we're at it.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, Abraham Hicks says we're on the leading edge of reality.
There you go.
But that,
yeah,
and that's something too, isn't it? Then when you're looking at creation and creativity, there's different types of creativity. There's absolute original creativity, which is nobody else has thought of it before. You're thinking it up for the first time. It's a brand new concept. And then there's synthetic creativity, which is that somebody else has thought of it before, and you're rehashing it, redeveloping it, making it work better, going with it, but you didn't actually ever create the concept yourself. When you look at what Abraham Hicks is talking about, he's talking about being on the leading edge of reality. So that's original creativity. That's original thought. And you can do that. You can have your own creation happening in your life and be part of the whole universe creating. You just have to stop and go into a part of who you are that is in the leading edge. And when you take the time to do that, that's when you go into that mode of manifesting things. That's when you go into that place where you're in complete alignment with the stream of life that's within you. And that's where that higher power is. It's the higher power of life. And it's flowing through you and out of you. And from it, new things are formed. It's coming out of you like a volcano. You know, sometimes it's an eruption, but sometimes it flows out slowly. But every time it creates a new island, it forms new world. It creates something new. A new beginning comes from that. And it doesn't always look like it's pretty or it makes sense at the time. But as you bring it together and complete the process, it is a wonderful, amazing, beautiful thing. And, you know, that is creation. And you have that power within you. So all you have to do is start to think about how you want to do something with your life that's unique. How can you create something unique in your life? Or how can you become more unique in yourself? Because you are. Like, you don't have to start beating yourself up that, oh, I only ever do synthetic creation. You are unique. You are already a unique creation. Start within. You are already the one that is unique. You are the original creation. So go with that and then flow with that. And you know, you never know where you're going to go with it and how it's going to come out. But you will draw on that Goddess Sophia effect of being the higher power of creation within your own self. It's quite intense, and I really love it when I get into that mode. Have you ever been in that mode?
Yeah, I would say so. I kind of got hung up on the whole notion of creativity, because to me, that is what it's all about. It meaning my higher power is total creative energy manifested and continuing to manifest at all levels. And you know, that's a very simplistic idea of what I'm talking about, but I like the word creativity, and that really spoke to me.
Yeah, well, you were talking about a higher creation, so, I mean, that's what it is, isn't it?
Right.
It's creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And so when you go within and you're doing your meditations, do you ever experience anything that is beyond being yourself?
Yes, yes. I've experienced a form of communion where I'm receiving answers to questions that I've put out. I mean, I've heard it said that prayer is putting your requests out to the universe and meditation is hearing. And I have not so much words, but concepts come to me that I'm somehow or other able to reframe in my mind as if they were words. And that's what happened to me around the whole concept of reincarnation. I just remember having a very profound meditation once where I came out of it suddenly believing in reincarnation. And I don't remember what made me go to that place, but it doesn't matter. It was like an insight that I'd had, or an epiphany, and that came out of a very deep meditation.
And so, when you had that epiphany about reincarnation, what was it that made you say, "Oh, wow, there's more than one life here. This is more expensive than I thought."
Well, that's just it. I'm having a hard time putting my finger on it. It happened to me 40 years ago, and I don't know if other lifetimes were revealed to me. That did happen at a later point in time, which more or less cemented my belief in reincarnation. But as far as that particular meditation went, I went deep, and when I came out of it, I thought to myself, you know, reincarnation is real. And I don't know why I came to that belief, but it was very firm in my belief system when I came out of that meditation.
Reincarnation makes absolute sense to me. It just makes sense. To me, the idea of one life and then that's it is just so limiting. You can't learn and grow enough in one lifetime. You need to have so many more. This body is one lifetime. This body I occupy will only live this one time. And the name of this body is Katrina, cat. That's the name of this body. And the memories that this body holds from this lifetime will be released back into my soul when this body passes away and is no longer alive. But the essence of the life that animated this body will continue to live on. And that essence of that life is my higher self, my soul. That is the greater, deeper life that I hold, that is me. And so I've had many, many lifetimes. Each lifetime is like a day. If you imagine night and day, each lifetime is like a day. And so my soul learns and grows as it goes along. It comes out of infancy and into teenage years and adult years and through power years and wisdom years as it grows. I'm not going to say where in my soul's journey I am, but I am going to say that reincarnation makes absolute sense to me. And that in the expansiveness of this universe, why limit yourself? Life is amazing. Life can be in so many different forms. You know, look, we're on a carbon-based life planet here with almost all creatures having iron-based blood, but yet we have these weird little crabs out in the sea that have copper-based blood. And I think that my partner David told me that they're starting to consider the possibility of gaseous life forms on other planets. Why couldn't life appear on other planets in different formats? Why would life only appear in a carbon-based format? You know, life is incredible, and we've now begun to discover, as we've explored the oceans, we've begun to discover that life is even existent and under so much pressure of water at the bottom of the ocean, right next to hot vents, you know, blasting out heat from the center of the earth. Yet life exists there. Life is incredible. And it is not a personification's belonging, this planet. You know, it's not a god's belonging and a god's creation. That, to me, is limited. This is life in its expression, and it's many, many, many lifetimes. It's many bodies that it expresses itself in as it comes through the different dimensions into the physical dimension. And it expresses itself, it learns from itself by being itself, and it grows, and it has interactions with its own self in many different bodies. And, you know, it consumes itself. Life eats life. even a vegan eats things that are alive. If you put a rotten plant and a plant that's just been harvested in front of a vegan, they're going to want to eat the just harvested plant. And that, why is that? Because it's full of life. You eat life force. You draw it into your body and you remain alive. Your body then takes up the nutrition, so it absorbs the body that you just ate, be that a piece of celery or a camel. It absorbs the body that you just ate and turns it into your own body. Satguru talks about that. I love him. He's a fantastic spiritual teacher. So, you know, how incredible is life? It's way beyond any religion, any construct that we can create as human beings. It's an incredible thing. And now I've had a bit long of a rant, I think.
That's fine. I was mesmerized. Well, let's see if I can mesmerize you all, folks. Just kidding. But what I would like you to do is take some time to do a little envisioning. And if you'd start off by just taking a long, slow, deep breath and exhaling it slowly. We're going to do a series of them. And you can count in to the count, slow count of four and out to the slow count of four with a little pause in between the inhalation and the exhalation. So here we go. Breathe in. Exhale through your mouth. Breathe in through your nose. Exhale out through your mouth. And if you haven't already done so, I invite you to close your eyes or just keep your focus on a particular spot in the room, just to kind of lose yourself for the moment and find yourself again at the end. And in between, I'd like you to consider this word and whatever feelings may come up, whatever associations may come up, hold them within you for a moment, and then we're going to let go. So the word is God. How does that speak to you? Does it make you feel safe, angry, afraid, comforted? Whatever the feeling is, it's yours, it's your own experience, and it's real. And so now I ask you to consider some of the following words. Love. Creativity. Power. Source. Sacred. Manifestation. Energy. Being. Becoming. life. God. Has anything shifted for you? Does the word God have a different feeling for you? Now you take a moment and bring to mind the words that are written on your heart and in your mind. Bring them forward and reflect on them one at a time. Bring forward three words. I invite you to do that now. If you haven't been able to think of any other words, that's fine. That's your experience for now. And if you've thought of other words and what they mean to you, how has that expanded your mind, your consciousness, your beliefs? And so whatever thoughts or feelings you've had, I invite you to draw in to your life experience at a feeling level, at a thought level, or at a belief level. And so this exercise is ending, and I invite you to open your eyes when you feel ready. And so thank you all for joining us tonight. Kat, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I wanted to thank Josephine Mitchell. Please like her on Facebook. She's White Owl on Facebook. Please support her. Thank you, Josie, for getting involved in the show. Really appreciate that. Thank you, Al. And please go to our Facebook page, The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. Click like, and you can listen to other radio shows that we have produced over time on that page. Please also send us a message if you have a topic that you'd like us to discuss. We want to discuss things that you want to talk about, so send us a message and let us know what you'd like us to discuss on our next show. And also, if you think there's somebody that we could have on the show that you'd really like to hear from, then let us know and we'll make that happen. Okay, thanks, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kat. And have a good night and good day, everybody, depending on where you're at. Until next week.